welcome to our website, hucdonna.org. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon titled Better Together. In addition, this week's sermon was very special because Hope Community Church welcomed guest speaker Pastor Gene from San Antonio. And now, on to this week's sermon.
He has been here several times and brings an outreach team every summer. He's already asking me, when are you going to do the shoes and the backpack giveaway? He wants to make sure he's a part of that. And just what a heart just to serve, to join us in serving the community. And I can tell you, I've met a lot of pastors, and not a lot have come with the kind of heart that Pastor Gene has come and just kind of brought us into a family of churches. And I got an opportunity to speak at their church not too long ago. And I just feel like we're sister churches in a sense, you know, like we're just on the same wavelength as far as outreach and as far as impacting people for Jesus. So, Pastor Gene, if you'll come, we're going to hand the mic over to you and share God's word with us today. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen.
Doesn't fit. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Pastor Elias. What a blessing it is to be back here at Hope Community Church. This is, I think, my fifth or sixth time that I have been here over the last couple of years. And I love coming here. I love coming serving alongside of you guys over the last couple of years. We've brought a team down. I think three or four times we brought teams down. And we're introducing other churches to what you're doing here in Donna, Texas. And I want you to hear me. Get prepared. It's going to get bigger and bigger in the sense of what God's going to do down here. Because it is spreading. And as the summer comes, this is a perfect place to be connected to and to see what the Lord is going to do in your community. And you guys get to be a part of it. Amen. Why don't you give yourselves a clap offering as I share that with you. Yes. Now, as I was coming down yesterday, you know, we had a great plan, Pastor Elias and I, and we had planned several weeks ago that I would come, and we both like to play golf. We don't get to play that often, and he's better than me, but it doesn't matter. We just like to get out there and play, and we had never played golf before, so I'm making my way from San Antonio, and I ran out of gas. Yeah, how dumb is that, right? Well, I borrowed my son's vehicle because his car gets 35 miles to the gallon. And I said, son, can I borrow your car, you know, come back it up? He said, sure, Dad, no problem. So I'm on my way from San Antonio, and I'm just getting ready to get into Edinburgh, maybe about 6 or 7 miles just north of Edinburgh. And I feel the car going, chick, 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 and just drift over. And I thought, and it didn't say empty. It said 60 miles. You know how you have the numbers that say, so I'm like, what's wrong with it? I'm thinking, this can't be gas then. So, you know, I try to start the car, and so I call my son, and I say, son, you know, is there anything I need to know about your car? He goes, yeah, Dad, it runs out of gas at 60 miles. I said, okay, well, thank you, son, for letting me know as I've already run out of gas and I'm on the side of the road. But Pastor Elias came to my rescue, and yes. He came to my rescue, and it really fits well into the theme this morning that I want to share with you this morning, entitled Better Together, God's Plan for Us All. And without him being there yesterday, I don't know what I would have done. I mean, you're out on the side of the road. There's not a whole lot you can do. I had the roadside service, but they told me that it was probably going to take about 90 minutes before they got there, and it took me forever to get connected to them. And so it was great that Pastor Elias was nearby and he was able to come and help me. And so, but what a blessing. But this morning I do want to talk to you about better together. Say that with me, better together. Doesn't that sound good? Better together. Now sometimes we can get lost in doing it by ourselves, especially men, right? Men sometimes have a pride, and we like to do things alone, and we like to accomplish things by ourselves, and there's a place for that. But when you're, you know, in a setting like we are this morning, and we're serving in a community, let me tell you, being alone is not better. You know, better together is what we want to focus on. And so that's God's plan for all of us as being a part of his church. And so this morning, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about better together, God's plan for us all. But I did want to say this first, though. All of our people from River of Life Church, they've said, please, 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 say thank you, or say hello to Hope Community Church from San Antonio. So I don't want to not say that, because I'll get in trouble if I go back home. So they all wanted to say hello. We're planning a trip in August, I think, again. Sometime late July, early August, Pastor Elias and I were talking about it yesterday, so we're looking forward to coming up soon and working alongside of you guys this year. But what do you think of the word when you hear together? What comes to your mind? What do you hear? Do you hear kind of a warming term? Some of the best experiences that we have, it's shared together, isn't it? It's a lot better word than loneliness. Loneliness is not the word that we enjoy. There's times where we want to be alone, but we don't like being lonely. Lonely together, that's an oxymoron. Well, I guess you can be together and still be lonely. But being together, better together, that's God's plan for us all. And it's just a much more warmer word, together. Lonely is a cold word, isn't it? Just a cold word. And together is a word that says, I need people. I want to be around people. I want their help. I want to help people. We're better together, right? And that's really what the word together really means. So when I think of together, I think of one of the best sports franchises in the last 20 years. And there are a lot of sports. I don't know, how many of you love sports? Yes. How many of you love the San Antonio Spurs? Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of our friends from up north, they probably don't care too much for the Spurs. But, you know, out of the last 20 years, the Spurs franchise is known as one of the best sports franchises in history. And they've had some of the best players over the last 20 years. But they're not known for their best players. They're a small market team. San Antonio's not a big market like you would have in New York or Los Angeles, but they've produced 5 championships in the last 20 years. If they make the playoffs this year, which they're on course to do, it'll be 21 consecutive years that the San Antonio Spurs have made the playoffs. And the thing that they're known for is their team chemistry, playing basketball together. That's what they're known for. Even though they have what some would call prima donnas, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker. They don't play like prima donnas. They play together. And that's what they're known for. And because they play together, and the coach has taught them to do so, taught them that team chemistry, they've produced one of the best franchises in sports history. I want to show you a quick video. This is what the Spurs are known for. And my boys, I have 4 sons, they all were born and raised in Los Angeles. They love the Clippers and the Lakers, but they deeply respect the Spurs, and it's for this purpose right here. So I want you to see this. Right. Yeah. I love watching that video because it just, you know, the ball gets passed 7, 8, 9, 10 times. Just always, they're making sure that they get the ball to the right person, and then if that person can't make the shot, they pass it to the next person. They play together. And one of the other things that the Spurs was known for is that, you know, typically there's 12 or 13 players on a team. They always were in the top 2 or 3 teams where 6 or 7 of their players had double figures in scoring. It wasn't just a couple, but they shared that amongst the entire team. That's the importance of being better together, is that you are all important to the team. You can't just think of just a few people being better together. We've got to see ourselves, all of us, better together. Amen? That's what God has intended for us, to be better together. Now, there's a scripture in Acts 13:36. I want to read this to you this morning. I don't know if it's up here or not, but is it? Yes, perfect. You can read it above me here. But it's in Acts 13:36, and it says this: For David, after he served his own generation, how many of you know who David is? That's King David. Remember, he was the man after God's heart. For David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep. What does that mean? Did he have a nice nap? No, that's when he breathed his last breath and he went on to be with the Lord. But before that, it says this. For David, after he served his own generation, what are we doing? We're serving our generation. After David served his generation, by the will of God, we're serving our generation because of the will of God. And there will be a day where we'll fall asleep. And that word served is a really important word here because it is it's a Greek word that means this, under rower. Say that with me, under rower. Have you seen the old ancient ships or the Viking ships that underneath you would see the men oaring, you know, the long oars on both sides of the ships, and they had four, five, six people, and they would oar together. And they called them under rowers. And so there had to be these rowers to make sure to move those big ships. One or two people couldn't do it. It would take up to 100 men rowing together. And that's what that term is saying here. David rowed together in his own generation. David was a king, but he understood his place as the king, that better was together. And he rowed together in his generation. Listen, God didn't intend for any of us just to come in here and sit down and then go home. He wants us to serve our generation. And he wants to serve his generation as it is his will. And that's what David did faithfully. He certainly had plenty of problems in his life. There were struggles in his life. But he served. He rowed together. I love that term, don't you? Rowing together. When you come into this building here, you're just coming into a building. But you're the church. You and I are the family of God. Amen? And so when we think about being better together, I want you to hear these words. These are just some of the words, some of the scriptures that I wrote down that I want you to hear. How important this theme of together, one another. Listen to these scriptures. Love one another. Wash one another's feet. Honor one another. Stop judging one another. These are all referenced. Build one another up. Accept one another. Admonish one another, greet one another, wait for one another, care for one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, be kind to one another, forgive one another, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, submit to one another, consider one another more important than yourself, don't lie to one another, teach one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. Be at peace with one another. Do not speak against one another. Do not complain against one another. Confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another. Be humble towards one another. Where two or three are gathered together. You hear all those scriptures? Those are all of the ones, and these are just some of them. I didn't even write them all down that speak of one another. It's not speaking of it, doing it by ourselves, but it's speaking of doing it together. And so, as I share some of the key scriptures this morning that will help us to see or remind us that we are better together, I want to share just a couple of key thoughts and scriptures. So better together means the church is a family, and we are God's house. We're God's family. Let me read in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Look what it says. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? That's quite a sobering scripture, isn't it? It says, don't you realize that all of you together, every person in this room, that you are the temple of God. You're the house of God. You and I are the house of God. My spirit lives in you. And that means you're my house. Each one of you, I live in you. And together we're God's house. It's not this building. It's not these walls. It's you and I. You and I are called the church. We're called the ecclesia. And the Lord inhabits his people. He lives in us. And if he lives in us, there's a power in us. And if there's a power in us, we can do things that helps to transform our community, like Hope Community Church is doing here in Donna, Texas. Amen? Amen. You're God's family. He is living in his family. He's living in his house. And he's doing great and mighty things here in Donna, Texas. And it's caught the attention of other people that hear about it, and they want to come down and join what you're doing here. They want to row together with you here in Donna, Texas. That's powerful when we get a hold of that, and we understand that. That way we don't come in here and set just on our rear ends, but we realize we're better together. We're rowing together. And as we row together, well, we can do mighty things together. Amen? We don't just sing songs together. We don't just read the word together. But we row together in our generation. We're better together. Amen? Ephesians 2, verses 21 through 22 says this. In whom the whole building being fitted together. Who's the building? We're the building. In whom the whole building, in whom the whole family of God is being fitted together. When you think of being fitted together, what do you think of sometimes? Do you ever think of a puzzle as you fit the pieces together? Each one of you is a piece of the puzzle that God's fitting together into his family. Some of you can do a lot better things than I can do. Some of you in this room, you've got abilities and talents and things that, you know, if you don't use them, it doesn't make me better. But if you come along and you row together, it gives us more strength and it helps us to go farther. That's what it's saying here. In whom the whole building, the family of God, is being fitted together, grows into a holy temple, grows into my family, matures into my family. In the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So there again, the better together means that the church is a family. And we're all God's house. We're all God's family. It starts there. Better together is recognizing that we're all part of God's family. That this family that he's building on the earth has a purpose, has intention, and he's filling us. He is filling us, continues to fill us, to do things for him. So that's one of the things that better together means. Better together also means we need each other. Say, we need each other. As much as we might say, you know, I don't need you. How many of you have ever said that before? I just don't need you. You know, nobody's ever said that before. How many have said that before? Come on now. We've all said that at some point. And it's really the immature thing to say, isn't it? We oftentimes we say it in a fit of anger or frustration. Well, I just don't need you. Well, that's not true. We do need each other. We do need. My wife sometimes says, I just don't need you, honey. I said, okay, well, we'll see how far that goes. Actually, I say that more often than she does, but we recognize, you know, after 29 years of marriage, we still need each other. Those of you that have been married or that are married, you need each other. Those of you that are not married, you need each other. You're single, you need each other. You're married, you need each other. We need each other. Listen to the scripture in Hebrews 10:25. It says this, and let us not neglect our meeting together. Say that with me. Don't neglect meeting together. As some people do. But encourage one another. Especially now that the day of his returning is drawing near. That's a scripture that you got to get to memorize. Because it says here, it says, and let us not neglect our meeting together. Now, there's three things that this scripture emphasizes. In the first one, it says, don't neglect meeting together. This is what the word neglect means in the dictionary. Neglect means this. Fail to care for properly. Neglect means to fail to care for properly. So when we neglect coming together, we fail to care for each other properly. This scripture here, Paul is writing in Hebrews, and he's obviously addressing a group of people that have been neglecting coming together. They get distracted, they get busy, they get bored, I don't need to go, I don't see the importance. And Paul is saying, listen, don't neglect coming together. If you do, then you will fail to properly care for one another. So that's what the word neglect there means. It means letting something deteriorate. Just think, if nobody showed up here, what would this place look like? If you didn't serve here, if you didn't give here, if you didn't grow together here, what would this place look like? What would Donna, Texas look like? What would the Colonias look like? Because of you and working together and serving together and not neglecting, this place is better. Donna, Texas is better. The Colonias are better. You are better. The community is better. Are you hearing me? Better together. That's God's plan for us all. The third thing it says, or second thing it says, encourage one another. Encourage one another. That doesn't always come easy for us. Sometimes, you know, we just don't encourage one another. But Paul is saying here, encourage one another. What does it mean to encourage one another? Yes, lift up. It means to put courage in somebody. Someone who's discouraged. You see, here is the understanding. If you're neglecting coming together, people can get discouraged. But if you come to this house discouraged, this is the right place to come to so someone can come along and encourage you. Just like this morning as you were here in front, there were some of you that came and you got prayed for. You got encouraged this morning. The Lord has not forgotten you. The Lord sees. The Lord hears. The Lord is the one who's able to do far and abundantly above all that we ask or think. The Lord is large and he's in charge. You see, and that is, yes, amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Better together. You see, when you're not here, you can miss out on that encouragement. God's not just wanting you to come here just to, like I said, just to sit. He wants you to participate. Because in you, there's encouragement that needs to be given to others. In you, there's something of life in you. I love this scripture that the Lord speaks about John the Baptist, but it applies to all of us. Listen to these words. And the Lord says it about John the Baptist, but it's applied to us all in other areas of scripture. In him was the life, and the life was the light to men. Hear that? In him was the life, and the life was the light to men. But you know what the first word says before that even starts? It says, a man sent from God, and in him was the life, and the life was the light to men. Tomorrow morning, all of you are going to wake up, and Donna, Texas is sending out however many people is in here, and in you is the life. And the life is the light to men. And that light comes as a source of encouragement. How can you encourage someone tomorrow? How can you go to work tomorrow and think about how you can encourage someone? Who are the people that you work with that maybe you don't like? Maybe, you know, they're sore and you don't know, you know, if you can ever really care about them. Don't neglect them, for you will not properly care for them. God didn't call us to neglect people. He called us to be a source of encouragement. We not only do it here, but we do it wherever we work, because in you is the life, and the life is the light to men. And you're men and women sent by God. You're sent by God. Think about that in the morning when you get up. Men and women sent by God in Donna, Texas. And in them is the life, and the life is the light to men. You have the light, and that light brings encouragement. How many of you need encouragement? How many of you like encouragement better than discouragement? Yeah. So if you know that, then you got to know that the people around you, that many of them can live in discouragement, and they need something. That's why Paul says, encourage one another. Put courage back into one another, because this life can suck the life out of you. There's a lot of hits that you can go through, and we need to encourage one another. Amen? So encouraging one another, that's a part of that. And then it says that the day of the Lord is drawing near. That's a part of the of our incentive, or not the incentive, that's the motivation. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming, and this is the motive of why we do it. Because he is coming. How many of you believe that he's coming back again? And he could come back tomorrow, he could come back today, but whenever he comes back, this is my last generation that I get to serve in. This is the last generation that I get to encourage in. This is the only generation I have right here, because this is it for me. If I live another 20 years, it's still just the only generation that I get to serve in, the only generation that I get to encourage in. And when we look at it like that, because Jesus is coming, he is coming. And that's the motivation. But it takes us from this, the needing each other. It takes us from the soloist mentality to the conductor mentality. You ever seen an orchestra? Let's pretend that all of you out here have instruments. You have whatever, the clarinet, you have the saxophone, you have the flute, you have the guitar, you have all of that. And you're soloist. And so your job is to what? To concentrate and focus on your piece, your instrument. You're the, you know, whatever instrument you have, the conductor's job is to do what? Is to focus on all of you. To focus on all of you. So each of us, I like to look at the conductor as the Lord. He's the conductor, and he's overseeing all of us. I have a piece, just a piece. Aloy, you have a piece, just a piece. Pastor Elias, you have a piece, just a piece. Catherine, a piece, just a piece. But our conductor is fitting all of that together because we need each other. And he's not saying, okay, listen, I want you to be soloist. Just stay out there and play together. But boy, when you come together and that orchestra comes together, oh, what a sound it makes. Oh, what a symphony that it makes when it comes together. And so when we understand that our conductor is fitting us together, better together, oh, the sound that it will make. Amen? So better together means we need each other. Third one is this. Better together means focus on giving rather than receiving. Focus on giving rather than receiving. I want to read this passage to you in Philippians, and it's from the Message interpretation, or the translation from the Message. But is it up here on the in the back? Yes. I want you to read it with me as I read it from here. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, how many of you have a heart? Put your hand over your heart. Is it beating? All right. If you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Wow, what a beautiful way of putting it. But it helps us to see here that if we really care, if we really have a heart, then it says, emphasizes, be deep-spirited friends. Don't just be shallow acquaintances. Don't just pass by and just a simple shake. But this is the family of God. Listen, whether you like it or not, look around. You're going to be together forever, eternally. If you believe that, say amen, bless the Lord. Eternally, you and I are going to be together. You may not know me here on this, other than just what I'm doing here today, but you and I will live together forever. So why not practice today here? Let's be deep-spirited friends. You know, and that's what I'm cultivating, and Pastor Elias is cultivating within us, is a friendship that's deep-spirited. Deep-spirited because we care. We understand that better together is important. And we don't have to push our way to the front. Why? Because the Lord has asked us to serve from the behind, coming in from the back end and serving back there. But that's where the emphasis should be. Putting aside your own needs and helping others to get ahead. When you put the when you lay aside your own needs and you help each other get to the top, that is a much better feeling than you just racing to the top and saying, listen, I made it before you. You know, if I can see farther than you, it's because someone lended me their shoulders to stand upon. You know what we need to do? Lend our shoulders to people. Let them get on our shoulders so they can see farther. You see, that's what Jesus is saying. That's why Jesus said, listen, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. You see, in Jesus' kingdom, it's always backwards. It's not that the top gets first. It's the bottom gets first. He came not to be served, but to serve. You see, that's his understanding of to better together is giving more than receiving. For God so loved the world that he gave. So better together is giving. Is giving. It's always giving. If you remember the scripture in Matthew chapter 20, he talks about James and John. Remember they were brothers and they were called the sons of what? Thunder. That meant they had a personality that was pretty thunderous. There was something about those two brothers. They probably got into trouble a lot, or they were known for their spirited, you know, life. But they were the sons of thunder. And just before a dialogue Jesus had with Mama, sons of thunder's mama, Jesus was talking about that scripture. Listen. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And you can just tell Jesus was having a really intense conversation with the people there. And guess what Mama does? Jesus, can I talk with you? Sure, Mrs. Son of Thunder. What do you want? I want James and John to sit on your right side and on your left side. Did you not just hear what I said? That the last shall be first and the first shall be last? And you're already forgotten it. It's gone in this ear and out the other. That shows me something. That even when Jesus speaks, it doesn't always make it to the heart. Because Jesus said those words. And see, I'm smart enough to realize that even anything I say may not make it into your heart. It may only make it into your ears. Because Mrs. Sons of Thunder was already asking for her two boys. I want one on the right, and I want one on the left. And Jesus just had that conversation. Listen, Mrs. Son of Thunder, better together is serving from behind. Coming in behind. The last. Because this is the real truth. Your son James, he'll be the first one to die. He'll be the first one to give his life. And your son John, who is known as the Son of Thunder, I'm going to change his life so much, he's going to be known as John the Beloved. And he's going to outlive all of them. You don't even know what my plan is. You don't stand. It's not my right to give the positions right or left. The position is I've not come to be served, but come to serve. And better together is understanding that we've come to serve one another. Amen. It's better together by giving than receiving. How many of you like that principle better? You know what? I did this a couple of years ago. I've only done it once. I should do it every year. A couple of years ago, I had the notion of on my birthday. You know, what do we normally, you know, we have presents that are given to us at our birthday. We have a birthday cake. Our family joins around. Have you ever experienced that? Well, that year I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I have four sons. None of them are married. And please pray for my boys to get married. they're all part of the church, so they're great kids. But they range from 25 to 16, but we're working on them. But this one particular birthday, and this was several years ago, I said, you know what, I'm going to buy them presents. So I went out and I bought each of them a present along with my wife. And it came time for our birthday, and we were sitting there at the table, and I gave them each a birthday gift. Because I wanted to do it opposite. You know, I still received, but I wanted to give to them on my birthday. That's kind of the understanding, is it's better to give than it is to receive. And that's what the Lord has put in us, is better together means to focus on giving rather than receiving. The last one I'm going to share with you, and this is probably the most difficult one, because better together means this: doing the hard work, the tough things, in order to have healthy relationships. That's a tough one. Doing the hard work, the tough things, in order to have healthy relationships. How many of you realize, if you've been married for more than a month, you realize that it's not always a bed of roses. That relationships are what? They're tough. Relationships are hard work. I've been married, I'll be 29 years coming up, and it has been hard work. How many of you have been married 40 years plus? You guys can really speak to the hardness of relationships. It's not easy, is it? 60? Oh, my goodness, bless the Lord. That's awesome. Has it all been easy, sir? Praise the Lord. There you go. Now, that's a husband's response every time right there, let me tell you. But you know what I'm talking about. Relationships are not easy. And when we come together, you just put a few of us together, and there is the formula for tension. It's there, and the Lord knew that. He didn't think just because we came to Him that would end all the problems. You can read throughout the rest of the Bible, and you'll see tension in relationships. So He knows there's going to be tension in relationships. But what we oftentimes do when it gets tough in relationships, we bail. Well, I'm not going to play with you anymore. I quit. That's immature. That's what kids do. Not God's kids. Mature men and women of God, we hang in there. We grow tough skin because we know thick skin is important for us to endure as we get better together. So if you get offended, come back to that brother and say, listen, I want to talk to you about something. Give the opportunity for the brother or sister to respond. Maybe they didn't mean it. Maybe they didn't mean to hurt you or offend you or whatever the problem might be. Whatever the tough issue is, better together. Work through the hard problems. Let me read a scripture to you. I want you to see how powerful this particular verse is, and I'm reading it from the Message version again, so it helps you to see even in a very simple way. But it's in Matthew 5, 23 through 24. Now, as I read it, I want you to hear it. This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship, did you guys enter a place of worship this morning? Yep, you've entered this place of worship. And about to make an offering. Did you make an offering this morning? Yep, you brought your worship before the Lord. You brought your resources before the Lord. That's all offering. As you bring that offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. You remember there's a grudge. Somebody has something against you. Not you against them, them against you. Abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God. Wow. That's a powerful passage, isn't it? What is that saying? The Lord will not let us get away with grudges. He will not let us come in here, give offerings. We can do it. We can give offerings. We can come and raise our hands, but if there's something in between us and we're not working on that, the Lord's saying, listen, you leave it immediately. That doesn't matter to me. What matters more is your relationship with others. God, and you know the reason why, dear ones? I believe it's this, because you and I are created in the image of God. We bear and reflect His image. And when we treat the image of God disrespectfully, and we don't care for one another, we disrespect the image of God in us. Does that make sense? And so the Lord is saying, listen, before you come to this altar, I want you to be reminded of that brother or sister who has a grudge against you, and I want you to go to them. And you call them up. You go to their house and say, listen, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened, But if there's any way that we can sit down and discuss this, I want to make this right. That's not easy to do, right? But see, that's the hard work of better together. That's the tough things of better together. And you know what the South is known for? When I say South, I'm a part of that. We kick things under the rug. We're good at kicking our hard things under the rug, aren't we? Because we don't want to deal with the tough issues. We don't want, and so we just let it get higher and higher and higher until anger explodes, until there's such a great fight between us, then we can't even reconcile it. And the Lord is saying, listen, your offerings, that doesn't matter to me. You don't make it right there. You make it right by going and working out the hard things and the tough things. That's a mature brother and sister in the Lord. Amen? That's a part of the hard things. So working on the difficult issues of relationships. You know, Becky and I, my wife and I, like I said, we've been married for 29 years. We didn't start off so good. We started the first 3 months off. 90 days was perfect, man. We lived in paradise. But after that, Frankenstein came out. And I guess I was the Wolfman. And if you've seen Frankenstein and Wolfman, they don't get along so well. The tough things were coming. The tough things started to surface. We never lived together, you know. And the Scripture doesn't teach us to live together. We make a commitment, and marriage comes together, and we fight together, and we work through the hard things together. And there was times where I was like, man, I don't know if I married the right person here. And she said the same thing, but I remember this. Oh, my goodness. This was like month 5 or 6. And I was working at a church in Los Angeles, and I was the assistant pastor and had a wedding to attend. I wasn't doing the wedding, just a wedding to attend. But I was very punctual. My wife was not very punctual. I like to be on time. My wife on time is 15 minutes late. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So I'm on time, and she's not on time, and that was one of the hard things in our relationships. And I'm like, you know, we were late all the time, and I kept on just being. So we got on the freeway, and we were late going to this wedding, and I was having an anxiety attack. We're on Highway 10 going into Los Angeles, bumper-to-bumper traffic, and I just let her have it. Oh, boy, I let her have it. And she got out of the car right in the middle of the freeway. And we were in the middle lane. There's 6 lanes of traffic, and there she goes. Well, what did I do? I just kept on going. That was not the best thing ever to do. I didn't think I was going to get through that one. But that wasn't the right way to handle that. That was a hard issue. But that's how oftentimes that's how we handle the hard issues. We get angry, one leaves, the other leaves, and so we had to make a decision early in our marriage. Are we going to fight through the hard things? Are we going to wrestle through the hard things? And 29 years later, we're still wrestling through things, but better together, better together. Now, we don't have those. I've never left her on the side of the road ever again. And actually, I went back to find her, but she made sure I was going to find her. But the hard things of relationships. And in a church, let me tell you this, the enemy will camp out looking to sow division. He will camp out. He will look for ways to sow division. He will look for ways to separate you. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to read a passage from Nehemiah chapter 3. And it begins in verse 1. It's just almost like a genealogy. But I want you to hear something here. And it's in the New King James Version, Nehemiah 3, beginning verses 1 and through 10. I think it's the NI, it's either the New Living Translation or the New King James Version. It doesn't matter, but I want you to hear this. Don't get bored, okay? Pull your ears, okay? Don't get bored. Listen. I got bored reading it. but I don't want you to get bored. But listen, beginning in verse 1, they built as far as the tower of the 100, and they consecrated it. Then as far as the tower of Hanel, next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built, and also the sons of Hananessa, I'm glad we don't have these names, built the fish gate. They laid its beams, and they hung its doors with its bolts and its bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Kaz, made repairs. And next to them, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Mishabel, made repairs. And next to them, Zadok, the son of Bana, made repairs. And next to them, the Tekoites made repairs. But their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. The prima donnas, they didn't come along and help. Moreover, Jehoiada the son, And it goes on and on. But what is the words that you hear in that passage? And next to them, and next to them, and next to them. You will read it 12 times in 10 verses. Aloy, come up here. Stand right here. Joseph, you come up here. Aloy. And next to Aloy is Joseph. Michelle, you come up here. And next to Joseph is Michelle. Next to Michelle is Pastor Elias. And next to Pastor Elias, Catherine, you come up. Can you make it? You're part of it too. Stand right there. Brother, you come up. You come up right there. Next to Catherine is Mark. Brother, you come up. And next to Mark is Damasio. Damasio.
Close enough. Yeah.
Close enough? All right. Thank you. Forgive me for my Spanish. And next to Damasio is Ada. Ada. You get the picture? Are you getting the picture? They were building. If you read the book of Nehemiah, they were building a wall. They were building a wall around their city. And they got the families together. And I could put each of you next to each one of these, and next to, and next to, and next to, and next to. That's better, right? Better together? Amen. Now this is, brother, you come up. What's your name? Hector. Hector? Hector, you stand over here. And Hector was alone, trying to build his piece of the wall, because they were building a security around the city of Jerusalem. The temple was built, the church was built, but invaders were just coming in and out. And so Nehemiah collected the people together and said, next to him, and next to him, and next to him. And the Tekoites, they wouldn't even lift their shoulders to the work. There's some that fit into that category, isn't there? And then there's those they recognize better together. Better together. So where would you rather stand? Would you rather stand here or alone? You get to choose, right? We get to choose. Thank you guys so much. You guys, give them a hand for coming up. The point is, better together is God's plan for us all. And as we serve together, we serve next to each other. Amen. Let me just pray for you. Father, Lord, as we serve you in our generation as David did, we're rowing together. And so, Lord, some of us have gotten distracted, and we've neglected what that means. And it means that we don't care for one another properly if we don't work together and come together. And so, Lord, I thank you for Pastor Elias and Alicia and their leadership here at Hope Community Church. And, Lord, what you're fostering here, what you're cultivating here is a spirit of unity, is a spirit of maturity. working together, side by side, doing this holy work in our generation until Jesus comes. So, Lord, every single person here today, I just speak your blessing over them, and I pray that they will walk away from here understanding and hearing your voice, that better together is my plan for you. And so, Lord, I just bless Hope Community Church. I bless the people here today. I thank you for their heart as they serve together. In Jesus' name, amen.